So in this conference, I want to focus on chapter 33 of the Legion Handbook called The Basic Duties of Legionaries. And it lists the 14 duties of active members. And before I go through each one of those and make a comment or two about each one, I wanted to mention also that before the basic duties of legionaries, there's actually another section on page 25 which talks about the duties of legionaries towards Mary. And maybe one day I'll give a whole talk just about this and go through each of these five duties of legionaries to Mary. So I'll just mention what they are, and maybe some other day, some other retreat, give a fuller explanation of each one. But our first duty towards Our Lady is to grow in our knowledge and love of her by serious meditation and zealous practice. And it says that this ranks above every other duty of Legion membership, that is to be devoted to our Blessed Mother. The second duty of legionaries towards Mary is to imitate Mary's humility, to try to be humble like our Blessed Mother. Third is to be apostolic, to share our faith, because once we're united to Our Lady, we're then called to be an apostle, to share our faith with others. The fourth duty of our relationship to the Blessed Mother is to have intense effort in serving our Queen and our Mother. And lastly, number five, undertake De Montfort's true devotion. Again, this would make a wonderful talk one day of going through each of those. But I do point out those five duties that we have to our Blessed Mother, which really rank before any other duties of Legion membership. Now I want to go through chapter 33 with you in the Legion Handbook. If you have your handbook, you're welcome to page through some of those. It's on page 191 in our handbook. And the first legionaries have, and remember that the reason why we're in the Legion is to become holy, to become saints, to get to heaven, and to bring as many people to heaven as possible. When it's all said and done, the only thing that's going to matter is us getting to heaven and how many people we can drag along with us. And that includes your wife, your husband, your kids, your grandkids, your neighbors, your co-workers. That's the purpose of life. As it says in the book of Job, naked I came forth from my mother's womb, naked I shall return. And that's how we leave this world. We come into this world with nothing. We leave this world with nothing material, nothing physical. All we have is the state of our soul, how close we are to God, how much we love God and how much we love our neighbor, how filled we are with God's grace, and then how many people we've helped to get there. We always tell the junior legionaries this, that when they get to heaven, they're going to look around behind them, and the junior is going to see all these people with canes and crutches and wheelchairs. They're all the people that they brought into heaven because of their visits to the nursing homes and to the hospitals. So all of us, hopefully, will be able to turn around and see the large numbers of people that we've helped to get to heaven as well. Father Bradshaw once said that we cannot come to heaven empty-handed. We have to show that we've brought others there. And it's true that anybody who gets to heaven brings a lot of people with them, and the souls that go to hell take a lot of people with them as well. So we're dragging people either one way or the other. So keep those in mind as we go through the basic duties of legionaries. And because the reason why the Legion has these duties for us is to help sanctify us, to help us to get to heaven, to help us become saints. And the first one is the regular and punctual attendance at the weekly meetings of the Presidium. You know, in the Legion, the meeting is more important than the work. Now, when you tell new members that, they're surprised. They think, well, certainly going out to visit the sick would be more important than the meeting. But the handbook says no. The handbook says the meeting is the most important duty of the Legion. That's where we receive the spiritual formation. That's where we're steeped in prayer. The rosary, the spiritual reading, the discussion, the allocutio, the reports, all of that is training ground to be an apostle. So the meeting is the most important. The handbook says the meeting is to the work as the root is to the flower. Without the root, the flower cannot exist. And what happens is, once people stop going to the meeting, the work dies off. So number one duty is the attendance at the Presidium meeting. And it says that even if we have to go during bad weather, when we're not feeling that well, or have to drive a long distance, it says that is very meritorious. Was Mary's long visit to Elizabeth a waste of time? Of course not, because the whole thing was part of an act of love. So maybe driving a long way to your meeting, that's an act of love for the Lord. One of my friends, in fact, he was from Michigan, I think Lansing at one time. His name was John Verrier. I'm not sure if some of you remember him, but he's a priest now in the Diocese of Peoria. He and I were in college together at Christendom. He joined the Legion. And after he left college, he came out here to Michigan. And apparently there weren't any Presidia wherever he lived. I'm not sure exactly where. So he drove about 2 hours each way to his Presidium meeting. It was somewhere in this area. So he came, drove 2 hours, did the meeting, did the work, and drove back. Now, the Presidium he visited, I guess, had not had a visitor in quite a few years. And it was, this is the first visitor they had, plus it was a young man, so that was extra special. And so by the end of the meeting, they had elected him the new president of the Presidium. He'd only showed up once, but they saw he had his handbook, they saw that he was knowledgeable about the Legion. So he actually was the president of that group for a couple of years until he felt called to the seminary and entered the seminary. So he was their knight in shining armor, but it inspired them that he drove that long distance to come to the meeting. I'd like to compare the Presidium meeting to the upper room, because we're gathered with our Blessed Mother in a cenacle of prayer. We are Mary's apostles. We're with her, we pray with her, and then we discuss the business of saving souls, and then we're sent forth, just like on Pentecost. We receive the Holy Spirit at the meeting, and then we're sent forth to evangelize and spread the faith. The work for your assignment is given to you, the grace for your assignment is given to you at the Presidium meeting. So when you come to the meeting, that's where you get the grace to do the work. So it says regular attendance at the meeting. I know sometimes in recent years, people miss meetings for not very good reasons. But obviously there are legitimate reasons to miss a meeting, illness, for example, or travel, or being away on vacation, or having to work. But really, I think we should take it as a very serious responsibility to come to our Legion meeting. Really, what Sunday Mass is for a Catholic, the Presidium meeting should be for a legionary. That's how important, how sacred it is. Now, of course, it's not a sin to miss your Legion meeting. We're not under an obligation. It's not under pain of sin to not say the catena or to not come to the meeting. These are volunteer things. But we should look at it in that much of a very serious matter, that we should really make that effort to be there each and every week at the Presidium meeting. And it says to be punctual, to be on time. Remember when Father McGrath got to the Philippines, he discovered something. He said, everybody down here is on Filipino time. Have you ever heard of that? So he said that the Legion helped to correct that. That's the same thing we have in our diocese with the Spanish Mass. The 1 o'clock Spanish Mass always starts at 1:20. Okay? So, but the Legion starts on time. Isn't that correct, that we start punctual and regular? Number two is the performance of the weekly work obligation. And it says it should be substantial, active, legionary work. By substantial, it means 2 hours. 2 hours of work. The juniors and intermediates work for 1 hour, but anybody above 18 does 2 hours of active apostolic work. And as the handbook says, it needs to be active work. The saying of prayers, as important as that is, doesn't suffice for active work. And it must be legionary work. See, not every kind of work is legionary work. Some work is good, for example, like giving food to the poor and to the hungry. That's good work, but that's done by the St. Vincent de Paul, the Knights of Columbus, and others. We do legionary work. Then, the work we do is assigned by the president. It's not our own choosing. It's not our own liking. We don't say at the meeting, well, I'd like to do this week. See, we're assigned by the president, and if we're given our assignment, the president says, okay, brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so, your assignment this week is to visit five new parishioner families and welcome them to the parish. Well, when you receive that, you're actually receiving that in the spirit of obedience. And that's how we can grow in obedience. If we say, this is what I want to do, we lose out the grace of being assigned and humbly accepting the assignment in obedience. And obedience is one of the greatest ways to grow in grace. The handbook says we should apply the rules of prayer to our work. What are the rules of prayer? Well, whenever we pray, we should pray with humility, right? We should pray with confidence and trust. We should pray with faith. And we should pray with perseverance. See, humility. We should always do our work with humility. We should do it with trust and confidence. Remember the old Dairy Queen commercial where Dennis the Menace hops into the car and says, Dad, we're all going to Dairy Queen. Do you want to drive? Okay, now that's confidence, right? That's the kind of confidence that we should have in the Lord. We should do our assignment with great faith and with perseverance and not give up. Kenan Ripley tells a story that they visited a man who was a down-and-out man who had problems with alcohol and everything, and they visited him for many years before he came back to the faith. Eventually, he came back to the sacraments. But out of curiosity, after this man died, they went back to check their minutes, how many times they had visited him over the years. 256 visits they had made to him over about a 10-year period. But eventually, he entered the church in the end and came back to the sacraments. The handbook says, the more that our assignment is like a cross, the more it is to be esteemed. You might like your assignment, that's great. If you don't like your assignment, that's even better. Because if it's a sacrifice, if it's something that you don't like to do, it says you get extra graces for that. It also says, do your assignment in union with our Blessed Mother. Always go in union with her. And try to speak as Mary would speak, act as Our Lady would act. And then it says, instill in everybody that you meet a love for the Blessed Mother. If there's one thing you can do in your assignment, try to instill in the people that you meet a love for Our Lady. If you do that, then she'll lead them the rest of the way. She'll lead them to Jesus. She'll lead them back to confession. She'll lead them to the Eucharist. She'll lead them to the church. The third duty is the furnishing at the meeting a verbal report on the work done. So we should take special care in preparing our report and giving our report. It says every report that we give at the meeting is a brick in the edifice of the meeting. See, every Presidium meeting, we build a shrine to the Blessed Mother, and Our Lady is present at the Legion meeting. And so every report that we make is actually like a brick in that shrine. And the more care we put into giving our reports, the more beautiful a shrine we can build to our Blessed Mother. Also, learn from others. Some of your fellow legionaries do a very good job at giving reports. Reports should not be too long or too short. If a report goes on for too long, it's not effective. If it's too short, it doesn't have enough substance. In your report, always say, where you went on your assignment, whether it be to door-to-door or nursing home or hospital, and then say how many calls you made, how many contacts you had, how many people you visited. And it's important also to include the names of the people, especially if it's a follow-up case. And that way we won't lose sight of these important people. And then it should be said, what kind of topics and things you discussed and talked about. And then if you said prayers with the people, and then usually you can include, like if you gave them a medal, a scapular, or a rosary, or literature. Now, it does bring up the question on when you give your annual report, does the secretary need to go through each and every minute to try to add up how many scapulars, how many medals, how many pieces of literature were given out? Lately, in the last few years, the Concilium has not been that concerned with the numbers of pieces of literature that you give out. They just want to make sure that you're giving out these things on a regular basis. So what a lot of Presidia and Curia are doing now is that in a Presidium, let's say you buy 1,000 miraculous medals for the year. Well, when they're all done, at the end of the year, you say, well, we've given out 1,000 miraculous medals. It makes it much easier than having to go back and count each and every one in every set of minutes when you're doing your annual report. In other words, it's okay to approximate when you give your annual report. On average, if a team of legionaries gives out 2 or 3 pieces of literature, well, then you just estimate over the course of the year how much that would be. In other words, we shouldn't be bogged down spending a lot of time on trying to count up these things. The key is that we're out there giving them out and doing the evangelization. So hopefully it'll make your job a little bit easier as a secretary at the end of the year. Number 4, confidence must be preserved. What we hear at the meeting or learn in connection with legionary work. Sometimes we come across very serious cases, drug addicts, alcoholics, people in invalid marriages, and we have to be careful never to gossip or never to break their trust. What's said at the meeting stays at the meeting. So we never want the Legion to be known as people who will go talking about these things. So always, it says, have great respect for the confidentiality of the Presidium meeting. Number 5, every member, it says, should have a notebook. And it says the reason for this is that the business of souls is very serious. We don't want to lose track of cases or souls, people that we visit. Having a notebook will help us to give better reports, and also years later we can look back on those notebooks and we're edified and encouraged when we look back out of all the years we've been in the Legion. I've been privileged to have saved all my notebooks from when I was a junior legionary, when I was 10 years old. I can look back at my very first assignment, 1973, 31 years ago, and I can read through the people that I met on that first assignment. So it says that can be very encouraging in years ahead. The handbook also says sometimes you have to be careful when you write out your assignment or your visit, because you don't want other people to find it and learn about serious things. So for example, like in my books, I'll put LC for lapsed Catholic, or IM for invalid marriage, or something like that, so you can use your own way of dividing some sort of a code that you'll know what it means, but in case somebody else discovered it, they wouldn't be able to have intimate things revealed about them to other people. The handbook says never write down your report in front of the people that you're visiting, but you should write it down soon after so you don't forget. Number 6 is a daily recitation of the Catena, which is the Magnificat of Our Lady and the other antiphons. It's Mary's prayer. And what's so beautiful about it is that when we say the Catena, we are linked to the Blessed Mother and to every other active and auxiliary member. Our Lady was the first one who began the chain of the Magnificat. And we pray it every day. Every active and auxiliary member says the Magnificat every single day. And that links us all together. You in Michigan, me in Virginia, the legionaries in Ireland. Father McGrath, when he was in the communist prison cell, said that that's what helped keep him sane, to know that every single person throughout the world was saying that Catena. And he prayed it as well in that communist prison cell. Father Bradshaw said the same thing in Iceland when he was up there doing Legion missionary work, that knowing that he was united to everybody in the Catena helped him. He went off to Siberia and spread the faith in Siberia as well. Number 7, the relation between members. This is very important, that legionaries get along with each other. It says we should always have kindness and sweetness toward fellow members. If we are, let's say, rude, or if we're uncharitable or unkind, you know what happens? It says it deprives the presidium of grace. So we lose grace if there's not harmony, unity, cooperation, or a team spirit. It says that self-suppression is the basis of all good legionary work. See, we should always work as a team. With T-E-A-M, people have said, spells out, together everyone achieves more. That's what a team does. Together everyone achieves more. The Presidium is a team. We're all working together. And because of that, we have to be extra careful never to hurt one another's feelings or be unkind or uncharitable in any way. Charity must reign in the Legion between all members. That's so important, to be always especially charitable. It then goes on to talk about jealousy and how sometimes we can get jealous of another person's success or another person's job that they're doing. It says the way to overcome jealousy is to try to see Christ in that person. And it has a beautiful treatment. If you ever have to struggle with jealousy in your spiritual life, read through that section, the relations between members, and it talks about how Elizabeth was not jealous of our Blessed Mother. Even though Elizabeth was going to be the mother of John the Baptist, she was not jealous that Mary was going to be the mother of God. Nor was John the Baptist jealous when all of his disciples left to follow Jesus. Number 8, the relations between co-visitors. This is your partner. As you know, legionaries always work in pairs. They work 2 by 2, just like Jesus sent out his disciples, his apostles, in 2. It says there must exist unity and harmony between the 2. And again, if there are missed appointments or broken promises or unpunctuality or discourtesy or uncharity, it says the members will lose grace. And one thing you don't want to do when you're out there visiting is have a lack of grace. So make sure you are harmonious and in unity with your co-visitor. Number 9, the recruitment of new members. And this is found in our Legion Handbook on page 198. And what this says is that it's the duty of every legionary to recruit new members. Don't just leave it up to the priest to ask new people to join. You ask people to join. If the Legion has been a blessing to you, if it's helped you grow spiritually, then you want to share it with other people. And next to our Catholic faith, really one of the greatest blessings in our life is our Legion membership. So just as we want to share our Catholic faith, so we want to invite others into the Legion. One suggestion would be that every active member should invite 10 people every week to join the Legion. Okay? So imagine, see, if you invite 10 people and only get one, if you want 10 more people to join, you have to invite 100 people, right? It's called the law of averages. So I'd recommend inviting people to join. But don't just do that. Also, make holy hours yourself to get new members. We've started this in Philadelphia and Virginia, and it has helped by encouraging the members to make holy hours for new members. God sends. When you pray, God will send you new members. I think one reason why we haven't gotten as many new members is because we're not praying or doing enough penance to get new members to join the Legion. So pray for new members, but also invite members. It can change their life. I mean, the person who invited Edel Quinn to the Legion, I mean, it changed the whole face of Africa. And in fact, that person didn't even think Edel Quinn would be a good legionary. She said, oh, you know, Edel heard about the Legion. She said, oh, you wouldn't like it. And yet she joined and became one of our saints. Number 10 is study the handbook. As I mentioned, it only takes 16 hours to read the handbook straight through. And it is, of course, a spiritual classic. It's one of the greatest books ever written. In fact, it's probably the most studied book in the Catholic religion next to the Bible. Because, you know, people have Bible studies every week, but also you have between 3 and 5 million Catholics read this book every week and study it. It's a brilliant masterpiece of the spiritual life, a modern-day introduction to the devout life by St. Francis de Sales. What that book was for the 1600s, this book is for the 21st century. What I recommend is that when you go to Holy Hour, take your Legion Handbook and read through it and study your Legion Handbook. I'd also recommend that you keep up to date on the Legion by reading Maria Legionis, the Legion magazine, which is a wonderful way for us to keep up on that, not just because my dad's the editor of the North American edition, but it's a wonderful way to keep up. I'd also recommend reading the writings of Frank Duff. Every legionary should read the writings of our founder, read the life of Edel Quinn, Miracles on Tap that we're reading here on this retreat. These things can really inspire you to become a great legionary. Number 11, be in a sense always on duty. And I think all of you are great apostles because not only are you doing your legion work, but many of you are evangelizing your friends, your neighbors, your co-workers. And it says we must bring the spirit of the legion to bear on all the affairs of life. And we're called to be the leaven in the community. We're called to always be on the lookout for opportunities to spread our faith. And all of you are doing a beautiful job at that. And it says we must always be on duty because people will look at us if they know we're Catholic, if they know we're legionaries. They're going to look at how we act, how we dress, how we speak, how we conduct ourselves. It says we should always edify people with the way we are. Number 12, the legionary must pray as well as work. And it says here that it's certain that the auxiliary member is of greater service to the legion than the active member who works but does not pray. So we, of course, do both. Active members are vital. Auxiliary members are vital as well. But the legionary, but the active member, must make sure that he or she also is a man or woman of prayer to make sure that we too are saying our prayers every day. The rosary, for example, and other prayers we'll talk about later tonight or tomorrow. Number 13, develop the interior life. And it gives three recommendations: prayer, mortification, and the sacraments. These are the three things to develop our interior life of prayer. And it says that there are many different ways to pray. Obviously the Mass, the Divine Office, the Rosary, having spiritual reading, reading the great classics, and then mortification, that's self-denial, making sacrifices, and then the sacraments, which is going to Mass as often as we can, going to confession on a regular basis, I'd say at least once a month is a good ratio, more if you need or if you'd like to, but at least once a month. And then number 14, the legionary and the Christian vocation. And basically this just means to see your legion membership as a way of life, not just belonging to a prayer group or a sodality or some other organization. The legion really is a way of life. And what I found is that the legion enables us to live out our vocation, the priestly, prophetic, and kingly mission of Christ. And what I found is that what happens is that legionaries, once they're in the legion, it changes their whole life because they're changed from being just the ordinary average Catholic into being a well-educated, well-formed apostolic Catholic. And if you have an apostolic Catholic, that means that you're out there spreading the faith. So these are the 14 basic duties of legionaries. It's really like a little examination of conscience for us. So I encourage you to keep living out these wonderful and basic duties. And again, realize that the purpose of all these things is really to get us to heaven and to bring as many souls to heaven as well. God bless you. Well, over in Ireland, there were some junior legionaries given the assignment to go out and do some recruiting. So they went to the a mass at a large Catholic parish. And they approached people coming out outside the church, and one little boy named Calm walked up to an old gentleman and said, "Would you like to be an auxiliary member of the Legion of Mary?" And he said, "Why can't I become an active member?" And the little boy says, "Because you're too old." And the old man said, "Well, my name is Frank Duff." That's a true story. It occurred on Frank Duff's 80th birthday. He got the biggest kick out of that. He always told people about that little junior legionary named Palm. Well, as you know, Frank Duff is up for beatification. Hopefully his cause is coming along well. It'll be in the diocesan. As you know, before the cause goes to Rome, they have to go through the diocese first. So it's still in the diocesan stage. Hopefully within 2 years it'll finish that in Dublin and then be sent over to Rome. So hopefully sometime in the near future we'll get word of his beatification. We have to keep praying for miracles through his intercession, and we have to keep praying for cures, not only through his intercession, but Edele Quinn and Alfie Lamb. One thing that Frank Duff, Edele Quinn, and Alfie Lamb all have in common is that they were all Praetorian members of the Legion of Mary. I wanted to talk tonight, this is our last conference, I wanted to talk about what is Praetorian membership, and then to give you reasons why we might want to consider this. Because Praetorian membership is really the fast track to holiness in the Legion. Now, for those of you who are not familiar with it, it's on page 92 in your Legion handbook. And the Praetorian is a Latin word. It's spelled Praetorian. A Praetorian member, really in the Roman Legion, was one of the picked Roman guards. They were like the special forces of the Roman soldiers. They would be like the Green Berets or the special forces. Now, in the Legion, we too have our special forces, and these are our Praetorian members. What the Praetorian member does is that they're regular active members who obviously attend the weekly meeting, do their two-hour assignment, say the catena every day, and keep the confidentiality. But in addition to that, they do three other things. They say the Legion prayers and rosary, not just the catena, but the whole Legion tessera and the rosary. They go to daily Mass and Holy Communion, and they say some form of the divine office, some form of an office approved by the Church. So I'd like to briefly, go through each of those things that they do, and again, realize what this kind of membership can do for those who undertake it. It's a higher degree of active membership. And the purpose of it, as is the purpose of a Legion, is to help its members attain holiness. So if you're really interested in being on the fast track to holiness in the Legion, this is the degree of membership that you want to strive for and aim for. It's for active members, but what it does is it expands their love for God. And as the handbook says, as our love grows, it must take on new forms. And so it represents an expansion of our love for God. It'll deepen our prayer life. It'll bring us into a closer union with God through prayer. And it will, as the handbook says, infuse into the Legion a heart of prayer. Now, our prayer life is so important, as you know. Really, prayer is to the soul what food is to the body. Imagine how long we could live without eating. I think they say you can live, 3 weeks, I guess. So if we don't eat, or we won't have enough energy and nutrition to be able to live. Our soul needs food as well, and prayer is the food for our soul. Somebody once asked the question on a retreat, if we ate as much as we prayed, how hungry would we be? Think about that. If we only ate as much as we prayed, or as little as we prayed, how hungry would we be? Would we have all died of spiritual malnutrition? See, a lot of Catholics only pray at Mass on Sundays, 1 hour a week. That's certainly not enough to have a good spiritual life. It'd be like not eating at all Monday through Saturday and then going out for Sunday brunch every week. One meal a week is not going to help you make it. What we need is to have a deeper prayer life, and the Legion can lead us into that through the Praetorian membership. Now, in the Legion, the handbook tells us that the Praetorians are not set up into separate Presidia. The Praetorian members are in regular Presidia, and that it's never brought up publicly who are or who aren't the Praetorian members. It's really a personal, private contract between you and our Blessed Mother. The only people that should know are the President and Vice President and the Spiritual Director, if you have one. When you're willing to undertake this degree of membership, you simply tell the President and Vice President, and they'll put you on a special role in the role book. So the Vice President keeps the role, but the names are never mentioned publicly, and really nobody else in the Presidium would necessarily know who the other Praetorian members are. It is helpful, though, to try to get, if you have a deacon, a religious sister, or a priest as your spiritual director, if they're willing to have their name put on the Praetorian role, that can add a lot of graces to the Presidium, because obviously the priests and sisters are already doing the Liturgy of the Hours, Daily Mass, and probably the Daily Rosary. So it does recommend if they could have their names put on the Praetorian role, that would be a great blessing as well. So this will lead us into a deeper life of prayer. Now, prayer has challenges. Sometimes, as you know, nobody really has time for prayer. You have to make time for prayer. And if it's important enough, we will make time for prayer. Now, the other problem with prayer is distractions. Have any of you ever been distracted in prayer? I'm sure every hand would go up. I remember there was a story once, I believe it was St. Francis, who met a man who boasted he never had any distractions in prayer. And so St. Francis said to him, if you can say the Our Father straight through without any distractions, I will give you this beautiful horse. And so the man started, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Does it come with the saddle? So distractions are going to be there, but if we build our spiritual life upon the Mass, the Liturgy, the Hours, and the Rosary, we are on solid ground. And so let's go through these three things, and let's talk about how important each of these parts of prayer are. So to the active member, as you know, the active members only say the Catena every day. That's the only prayer we have to say every day is our Catena, which means we have to pray for at least 60 seconds a day as legionaries. See, Frank Duff is very sneaky, right? Is that you get into the Legion and you only have to pray just a little bit. But then the Blessed Mother ropes us in, right? She pulls us in, and pretty soon we're saying the whole prayer card. Pretty soon we're saying the rosary every day, sometimes maybe 15 decades a day. And then, pulls us into daily Mass and communion and maybe even to the Liturgy of the Hours. So God works in wonderful ways. So the Legion, I think, is very wise to only require the Catena, because the Legion wants as many people as possible to become active members. And if it was required to do all these things to be an active member, some people might not do it. So the requirements are very minimal as far as prayer goes, but its purpose is to lead us into a life of prayer. So the Praetorian member, first of all, prays the Rosary and all the prayers of the Testator daily. This would be the opening prayers to the Holy Spirit, the Catena, and the concluding prayers. And I love all those prayers. There are many indulgences attached to saying those prayers. So every time you pray them, you get partial indulgences. And that concluding prayer is so powerful. It's a prayer for faith in which we ask for a lively faith animated by charity, courageous faith. And I like to say that prayer at night before I go to sleep. That's a nice nighttime prayer. And I like to say the opening prayers to the Holy Spirit in the morning. So it's neat, you can divide these prayers up into three different parts of the day, or you can say them all at once. But I like to say the opening prayers to the Holy Spirit in the morning, the Catena sometime during the day. I usually incorporate that with my evening prayer, that is the evening hymn of the church. And then the concluding prayers at night, especially when it says, may the souls of all of our departed legionaries, the souls of all the faithful departed through the mercy of God, rest in peace. That's a great prayer to say at night before we go to sleep in case we don't wake up. We might be one of those that are resting in peace. So we want to prepare well for that hour of our death. So we pray the whole Tesserum every day. And the Tesserum is, as you know, this prayer card right here. And the tessera is, it means a token of membership. If you have one of these, it means you're an active or auxiliary member of the Legion. As you know, we don't leave these out in the back of church for people to pick up. These are like having a membership card to BJ's or, I don't know, do you have Costco out here or Price Club, BJ's? This is like a membership card. If you have one of these, it means you're a probationary or active member or auxiliary. So again, don't give these out indiscriminately. Only give them out if the person is willing to sign up as an active or auxiliary member. And if they sign up as an auxiliary, then you go visit them again, obviously, after 3 months to see if they are doing it. Then you transfer them to be a permanent auxiliary member, and still they should be visited once a year. So the Tesserum is a beautiful prayer card. In fact, it's actually gotten some people out of some speeding tickets. Once a person was pulled over by a cop, and he had his driver's license folded up in his Tesserum. So as he pulled it out, the fellow says, "Oh, Legion of Mary, my wife's a member, no ticket." And also the Tesserum is very good when you have to go pick up legionaries at the airport. You just hold up the Tesserum, and then they know who to pick up. That's what Brother Joe did for me the other day. So the Tessera also includes the rosary, 5 decades a day. And as I like to say, a decade a day keeps the devil away. And so we should be praying at least 5 decades of the rosary every day. And we've been very blessed with the 5 additional luminous mysteries. And so Monday we usually say the joyful, Tuesday the sorrowful, Wednesday the glorious. Thursday the Pope recommends for the luminous mysteries, Friday the sorrowful, Saturday usually the joyful, but it's also nice to interchange that with the luminous once in a while. And then on Sunday, we say the sorrowful during Lent, the joyful during Advent, and the glorious the rest of the year on Sundays. Now, personally, what I like to do is during Lent, I say the sorrowful mysteries every day for the 40 days of Lent. I find it to be very helpful, and I think you will too, because during Lent you want to meditate on the Passion, and obviously the movie, The Passion of the Christ, was such a great blessing because it helped us to really meditate upon how much Jesus loves us and how much he suffered. I saw it 9 times in the movie, so I know it pretty well. I tried to go at least once a week during Lent to see it, Ash Wednesday, Good Friday, and usually every Friday during Lent I tried to see it. Well, the praying of the rosary is the life of Christ, and every day we meditate upon the different aspects of the life of Christ. The rosary is the most powerful private prayer that we have in the church. It's the prayer of the Gospels, the life of Christ. And as we meditate upon the life of Christ, we begin to interiorize and deepen the life of Christ within us. It's also powerful to pray the rosary every day because we say the prayer, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. See, those are the only 2 times you ever need God's grace, right? Right now and at the hour of our death. You don't need it for yesterday or last year. You really don't need it for tomorrow. Right now is when we need grace and at the hour of our death. And we say that prayer 50 times in the rosary, storing up for ourselves treasure in heaven and treasure at the hour of our death. The next thing is daily Mass and Holy Communion. And the handbook says that not everybody can make it absolutely every single day. So even if you miss once or twice a week, you can still become a Praetorian member, even if you miss daily Mass once or even twice a week. And I think that would even go for the rosary or the liturgy of the hours as well. If you're doing it, you know, 5-6 days of the week, I think you can, with confidence, be a Praetorian member. Now, so don't get upset if you miss Mass once a week, unless it's Sunday. You have to get a Sunday Mass. But if it's during the week, don't feel like you can't be a Praetorian member if you can't get there once or twice during the week. So daily Mass and Holy Communion, Vatican II says that the Eucharist, because it's Christ Himself, is the source and summit of the Christian life. Pope Pius X said that frequent Holy Communion is the quickest, safest, and surest way to grow in holiness, because we're fulfilling the prayer of the Our Father, give us this day our daily bread, that super substantial bread that nourishes our soul. So daily Holy Communion is how our soul is nourished and fed. When we go to Mass, we're so enriched because we have the liturgy of the Word and the liturgy of the Eucharist. And so our mind is fed by the readings and by the homily and by the petitions, but then our soul is fed with the Eucharist. So liturgy of the Word and liturgy of the Eucharist. Some of you have read some of the mystical theology that there are three stages in the spiritual life: the purgative stage, the illuminative stage, and the unitive stage. Have anybody ever heard of those three stages of the spiritual life? Well, the Mass, every time we go to Mass, takes us through those three stages. The purgative stage, really, is the penitential rite. I confess Almighty God, etc. And then the Kyrie, and then the illuminative stage of the Mass are the readings and the homily, and that illuminates the mind and enlightens us. And then comes the unitive stage of the Mass, which is receiving communion, being one with Christ. So the whole spiritual life is shown us at the Mass. The purgative, the penitential rite, the illuminative, the readings and the homily to enlighten our mind, and then the union, and we even call it Holy Communion, because we're united and made one with Christ Himself. So what graces can we receive by frequent Holy Communion? Well, many of the saints have told us that every time we receive the Eucharist, we receive an increase in sanctifying grace. We receive sacramental graces. We can have all of our venial sins wiped away. One good Holy Communion can wash away all of our venial sins. Our soul will become more beautiful in heaven for every Holy Communion we've received. Our glorified body will be more beautiful and filled with light up in heaven for all eternity. Our glorified body will emit more radiance and light. When we go to frequent communion, the passions and concupiscence will be lessened. We'll be able to be given the grace to overcome temptations. By going to Holy Communion, we can help more souls be purified quickly in purgatory, and many other graces as well. Frank Duff says in his booklet, Can We Be Saints? He says, if somebody is really serious about holiness, they will go to daily Mass. He says, if anybody could easily attend daily Mass and doesn't do so, that person's just really not serious about becoming a saint. But when we receive communion, the Lord is present within us for about 15 minutes. And sometimes you see people eat and run, right? You see them receive communion and then dash out the back door. And obviously that's not to be recommended, because they still have Christ within them and they should spend time in prayer and adoration. You know what St. John Bosco would do if he saw somebody leave Mass early? He would send the altar boys out with 2 lit candles to follow them out to their coach and buggy, so that they realized that they were living, walking tabernacles of the Lord. And I also have heard stories of, in the back of churches, they'll put up signs saying, you know, the only one that left the Last Supper early was Judas, and things like that. That gets some people's attention. So anyway, when we receive communion, we have about 15 minutes of a golden opportunity. in a sense, it's like digging for gold. Imagine if somebody took you to a gold mine and said, for 15 minutes, I'll let you dig as much gold as you can to take home. What if the person said they only dug for a minute and then left? Well, they'd be missing a lot. So when we receive communion, we can, in a sense, dig for spiritual gold for quite a while to talk to the Lord during that entire 15-minute period. Or if somebody had a shopping spree and said, you can go into the finest jewelry store, Tiffany's jewelry store or whatever would be the most expensive diamonds and jewels, and they said, you can have a shopping spree of 15 minutes. Go at it. And somebody just walked in and said, I'm just going to take this little watch. And then they left after 1 minute. Well, that's how it would be if we receive communion and then don't talk to Jesus and then just leave without really meditating and having a good Holy Communion. Some of the saints have said one Holy Communion could make a person a saint because the Eucharist is Christ. And if we're properly disposed, we can receive many, many graces. And sometimes people ask a good question. Why is it that we receive communion so often, but we don't advance in holiness more? Well, the answer is grace is given according to the ability for the person to receive it, according to the disposition of the receiver. An example would be, like this cup can only hold this much water, probably about, if I had a larger cup, it could hold more. So if our capacity for God increases, if our love for God increases, our love for neighbor increases, then we could be filled with more grace. If we only have a thimble full of capacity, that's all we're going to be able to receive. If we have a bucket full or the Grand Canyon full, we can receive all the more. So the Eucharist always gives us grace, but we can only receive as much grace as we're properly disposed to receive. And that's something for us really to meditate upon. If there's sin in our life, we're not going to be able to receive as much grace as the Lord wants us to have. So if we can eliminate pride and selfishness and vanity and whatever else, then we can be more filled with God and the Eucharist will transform us so much more quickly. And lastly, the divine office, the liturgy of the hours, or any office approved by the Church. Out of curiosity, do any of you pray the Christian prayer or any liturgy of the hours or any divine office? Can I see a show of hands? Wonderful. About half of you say some form of the divine office. The office is the inspired word of God. The office contains the psalms and other readings. And what's so powerful about it is that it's the official prayer of the Church. It's the public prayer of the Church. The prayer of Christ praying to the Father. When we pray the divine office, which means the work of God, we're being incorporated into Christ praying to the Father, which means those prayers were always efficacious, those prayers were always sanctifying. They're not dependent upon our own disposition. It's dependent upon the effectiveness of Christ, and those prayers are always pleasing to the Father because it's Christ Himself who is praying in us and through us. Whenever we use the Bible, the inspired Word of God, as our prayer, those are always effective, sanctifying, and pleasing prayers to God the Father. It's also neat to think that Jesus Himself read those psalms. Mary herself read those same prayers and same psalms. The Pope, all the bishops and clergy, all the nuns, the Carmelites, the poor clerics, they're also reading those prayers every single day. So we're uniting ourselves to the universal Church and to the corporate prayer of the Church, the voice of Christ praying to the Father. Now there's a couple different forms of the divine office. You have the whole office, which Frank Duff prayed every day, which is morning prayer, daytime prayer, evening prayer, night prayer, and office of readings. In fact, Frank Duff said those every single day from the time he was in his 20s until he died at age 91, and he prayed them every day in Latin. And that was the old form where you prayed all 150 psalms once a week. Now we pray 150 psalms once a month, if you are familiar with the Liturgy of the Hours. There's also Christian prayer, or what's called shorter Christian prayer, and even the Legion has the shorter breviary that you can get. And so to be a Praetorian member, all you have to do is say morning and evening prayer, and that would be sufficient. But you can also add night prayer if you want, or officer readings. If you feel that would be too much at the beginning, maybe try the Little Office of the Immaculate Conception or the Little Office of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And lastly, what I would just like to say is don't forget about telling your auxiliary members about adjutorian membership. Everybody know what adjutorian membership is? It's auxiliary members who also not only pray the rosary and prayer card, but they go to daily mass and communion and say the office approved by the church. And I would recommend reading the section in the handbook on page 97 and 96, because it has to do with the adjutorian members. What we should keep in mind is that some of our auxiliary members are probably already going to daily mass, right? You probably met some of them. Well, it would be a great blessing to them if you could introduce them to praying the liturgy of the hours. You could even talk to your priest or nun about having a one day or an hour talk about how to pray the liturgy of the hours. Try to get your auxiliary members to come to that. Because if you can get them to do that, I'm sure they're all doing their rosary and legion prayers, or probably many of them going to mass and communion. Usually what they're not familiar with is the Christian prayer or the divine office. And the handbook says it can become a way of life for them. And it even recommends going to the religious orders, maybe like the Carmelites or the Poor Clares or the Trappists or the Benedictines. If you know of some of the monasteries nearby, it would be very valuable to go to them and ask if they would become adjutorian members. All they need to do is say the Tessera every day, and then we get the benefit of all their prayers that they say throughout the whole day. Listen to what Frank Duff says in the Legion Handbook. Special appeal is addressed to priests and religious to become adjutorians. The Legion earnestly desires union with this consecrated class, which has been specially deputed to lead lives of prayer and close intimacy with God, and which forms in the Church a glorious power station of spiritual energy. Effectively linked up with that power station, legionary machinery would pulsate with an irresistible force. Consideration will show how little this membership would add to their existing obligations, no more indeed than the catena, the Legion prayer, and some invocation, a matter of only minutes a day. But through that bond with the Legion, they have it in their power to become the driving force of the Legion. So it's like plugging in something to a great source of power. And then it concludes by saying, "Give me," says Archimedes of old, "a lever and a support for it, and I will lift the earth itself." United to the Legion, the adjutorians will find in it that essential support on which to rest the long lever of their holy prayers, which then become omnipotent to uplift the burdened souls of the entire world and move away its mountainous problems. So that's what the handbook recommends. If you could, try to get your auxiliaries to become adjutorian members, and try to get priests and nuns to join the adjutorian rank. I think if we did this, the more prayer we would have for the Legion, and the more the Legion would grow, the more active members we would get. See, the more prayer we have, the greater good we can do as active members. And in the meantime, I would recommend that we should expand our love for God and perhaps undertake this Praetorian degree of active membership. Pray about it, and that would be a wonderful fruit of this retreat. Bishop Sheen always said, whenever you go on retreat, always make one resolution. What will be your resolution? Will it be perhaps to consider Praetorian membership?